I'm easy like Sunday morning.
Commodores, Lionel Richie, Easy. In this new film, Baby Driver. What's going on, you guys? Ryan Nilsson, Moviegoers Podcast, doing another solo review of the big movie this week, Baby Driver. Upcoming weeks, we got some guests, Ryan Kuna from Temple University, and Tyler Bonner, whose favorite filmmaker is actually Edgar Wright, who we'll be discussing today as well. This is just going to be all about Baby Driver. Saw it 2 days ago. Wow. A lot to take in. Got to turn this down. A lot to take in. A lot of stuff going on there. Gonna praise it. Gonna get all in depth on it and share an opinion that is kind of in the minority in terms of how this film's been received so far. But first of all, you know, again, I'm Ryan Nilsson. Welcome. I'm not going to get into spoilers for probably like the first 10 minutes, but towards the end, I'm going to be getting into spoilers. Just letting you know, I'll give you a spoiler alert. But if you don't want to know anything about the movie, you probably shouldn't be listening to this anyway. But if you have seen it, I am really interested if you agree with the points I will be making. So without further ado, going to get right into Baby Driver. And just letting you know, coming off of a cold, I was really sick earlier this week, or I guess last week. And, you know, just taking a lot of fluids, so taking some periodic sips of water like this right now. There we go. Okay. I mean, first of all, just have to address right away. The music and action in this movie, the combination, is the best I've ever seen in any movie ever. Ever. It's incredible. Edgar Wright uses music with his car chase scenes in this, and it is so much fun, and it makes for such an incredible experience, and that's the experience you go for. You do not go for the plot and the deep meaning experience in this movie. You go for the fun thrill ride that is Baby Driver. That is why you go see this movie, because it is so much friggin' fun. Really, really, really cool movie. Really fun. Blown away. Even that scene where he's getting coffee, the Baby Driver, okay, there's a scene where he gets coffee, and it's literally, this is the scene. Baby walks into a coffee shop, gets four cups of coffee, walks across the street, goes into a building, hands the coffee, and it is really fun to watch. It's all one take. There's a song playing that he's listening to, and Edgar Wright's just showing, there's a line in the song where it's talks about graffiti. There's graffiti on the sidewalk. It goes on, and it's just like incredible. Okay, got that out of the way. Before I'm going to summarize the movie, and then I'm going to talk about Edgar Wright and get into some positives and what I loved about this movie, and then my negatives. So, and the Baby Driver follows a getaway driver named Baby, and his parents died in a car crash when he was younger. His mom was a singer and did a cover of Easy. He has that on this iPod his mom gave him when he was younger as well. His dad, like, might have been abusive, I don't know, or just, like, a mean guy. But they both died in a car crash. He was scarred from it, and it left a permanent ringing in his ear, tinnitus in his ear, which is like, if you go to a rock concert, or have ever been to one, and after 2 hours, you know, you're leaving, and there's just a ringing in your ear, it is that, but 10 times crazier and constant in his life. So he listens to music all the time to drown it out. And he's constantly wearing sunglasses. He's a kind of a low profile guy. He just drives, and he is the best at what he does. He is great. And he works for Kevin Spacey, who's this kind of crime lord in the city of Atlanta. That's where this takes place. He owes Kevin Spacey because when he was younger, he actually jacked. He took Kevin Spacey's car, and Kevin Spacey found him, and instead of killing him, he hired him and kind of got him in debt. So now he has to do these bank robbing jobs, be the driver, the getaway driver, for him and his crews just a few times until he fulfills his debt. And he gets paid, just like he's forced to agree and to abide by this, or Kevin Spacey would hurt him. So he has to do all these jobs for him. And, it opens with a job, including characters played by actor John Bernthal, who's Shane in Walking Dead, John Hamm, and I think it's Elsa Rodriguez. It's the four of them. They drive to a bank. They go in. He is just listening to music, pumping the tunes, and he just, you know, he's just the driver, gets away. And the car chases are incredible in this movie. Some of the best car chase scenes I have ever seen, probably ever made in film. They are so much fun. They're thrilling, edge of your seat action. And it makes you wonder why more movies haven't done more chase scenes like this. They are just so entertaining. That's it. It's just pure entertainment. The first hour of this movie, I think, is perfect. It's phenomenal. It sets everyone up, introduces you to the characters, the conflict, the plot, what's going to happen, and then it goes from there. We'll talk about the rest of the movie after a little later. But for now, okay, so he nails the first job. He kind of baby falls in love with this diner waitress named Deborah and starts going out with her. And then he has to do one last job for Kevin Spacey. And it involves John Hammond and Alyssa Rodriguez's characters, as well as a new character, Bats, played by Jamie Foxx, who is this rough around the edges guy, does not care for rules, doesn't care for laws really at all. He doesn't buy things. If he can hold a gun to someone's head and steal, he will do it. And he kind of puts everyone in jeopardy at some moments when and that makes the whole kind of heist go a little awry. And the movie is basically a series of these heists. One goes wrong, and Baby has to get out clean and make sure those around him, that are his loved ones around him, like Deborah and his foster father, get out clean too, get away, you know, unhurt. That's the synopsis of this movie, and it's solid. It's so much fun. It's great. I have to praise Edgar Wright before I get into any more of the movie. Just have to, you know, set aside a few minutes to do that. So, director Edgar Wright, he also wrote it. I think some of the best directors have a style that is, it amplifies a movie. So you can identify the movie because of the quality, and it's not a similarity to their other work. Great example of this is Tarantino. Tarantino, the Coen brothers, Wes Anderson, even Spielberg. They have a style in which you could watch 5 minutes of a movie if it's on TV, and then within that 5 minutes, you know it's one of their movies. These filmmakers also have a resume of films that are so different from one to the next, so diverse, but they are all that director's type of movie. Tarantino, Pulp Fiction, and then he does Kill Bill. Very different movies, but you know it's a Tarantino movie because of the way it's done, because of the style, which is incredible. So for me, Baby Driver puts Edgar Wright right up there with those filmmakers. Baby Driver is an achievement for Edgar Wright and I think for cinema because it is remarkable how this movie is done. So first of all, but you know, it's action-packed. It's a thrill ride. It's probably the most entertaining jam of the summer. This movie has some of the best car chases again. I think it's up there with like The Road Warrior, Ronin, even the latest Mad Max movie. And I think this makes Edgar Wright one of my favorite, and I think he's one of the most talented directors working today. This film shows an entire new layer of his talent and of a true filmmaking auteur. I think he's that good, and this movie puts him up there with those other giants. And his use of music with the action and compilation with his style makes for such an entertaining, like, tour de force, a fun ride, and it's an incredible first hour of this movie. I mean, again, just comparing him to Tarantino. Tarantino, he, you know, he's done westerns, he's done a samurai movie, in crime movies, and a lot of which have elements of movies I've seen before, but his style with the directing and the writing bring it to something else. They make it different. It makes it amazing. I think the term is mixtape filmmaker. You know, Tarantino, with many of his movies, he shows you, he doesn't hide from it. He blatantly says, I was influenced by these movies I've seen in the past. And then he takes what he was influenced by, what he liked in those movies, puts it in his own, and then with his style and his creative mind, makes it his own and makes it unique, makes it cool. For example, like Django Unchained, clearly influenced by like Sergio Leone movies, old westerns, Clint Eastwood movies, olden days, like Seven Samurai and stuff like that. But he, you know, what he brings to it makes it different and makes it a great movie. And that's why he's an amazing filmmaker, mixtape filmmaker. I think Edgar Wright is the same. He's a mixtape filmmaker in which you can clearly see his so many influences from films in the past. Not only, you know, films like Ronin and Road Warrior with the chase scenes, but just, you know, classic cinema. and he takes those influences and makes this really incredible movie, and his directing style elevates it into something just so cool and different. And you can tell he had so much love and passion and effort into this movie. Now, what I will say is, you know, he's done four other movies: Cornetto trilogy of Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End, and then Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Scott Pilgrim versus the World is my least favorite out of all those. I still like it a lot, though, and I love all of his movies. I think they're so cool, they're so great. You can tell he puts so much passion into them. Even though Scott Pilgrim wasn't for me, I still like it. It's just not, I don't put it as high a regard as the other movies. I love that movie in that it showed another layer of Edgar Wright. It was very different from those other three movies he's done, and that's why I like that movie. It just shows this guy's capable of doing other things, and he doesn't fall into the trap of doing the same thing. You know, a filmmaker, I think, that does the same thing over and over again is, Neil Blomkamp. He did District 9. District 9 is a phenomenal film, one of my favorite movies. But every movie he's done since has been the same movie. Elysium and Chappie are the same movie. It has the same style he brings, but it's the same movie. Like, he wrote both. It's a main character who has something happen to his body, and there's a cultural element. It's the same movie. But what I think a good director is, you know, their style elevates the movie. Tell it's one of their movies, but it's very different from the other work. Baby Driver did a similar thing for me that Scott Pilgrim did, just, I think, times 10. It's so different from his other work that I think this is the most Edgar Wright-iest, if that makes sense, movie he's done. It's not like the Cornetto trilogy. It's not like Scott Pilgrim. The action is on another level. I could not believe he pulled off such beautiful and entertaining action that he did in this movie. Like, the action in The Shaun of the Dead and World's End is fine. It's not great. It's kind of action you'd see in a TV show, which is not, you know, critiquing it. It fit that tone of that movie. The action in this is incredible. It's so cool and so much fun and so entertaining. And then even the structure of this movie is very different from his other films. And the actors he got are very, they haven't been in his other movies. I just found this movie to be so different from his other work, yet his style elevated it to be such an incredible film. And I will say the directing in this is great. So, I mean, it's a well-crafted piece of art. He's a true artist. And I love Edgar Wright even more after seeing this movie. And he's become one of my favorite directors after seeing this movie. Take a sip of water. Now, I'm leading up to a but. I don't think there's a but. I'm going to get into, you know, the problems I had with the movie, but I just got to give credit where credit's due. Like, this movie is incredible. He pulled it off. I think it's different from his other four movies, obviously, but walking away from this movie, my two big takeaways were that the first hour is practically perfect action cinema, and that Edgar Wright's amazing. He's one of the best directors working. But with all that being said, Edgar Wright is both a writer and a director, like the Coen brothers, like Tarantino, and Wes Anderson. And I think the reason I consider his other four movies, Cornetto trilogy in particular, to be some of my favorite movies of all time is because of his writing, directing, editing, even the actors all work so well together as a cohesive unit that it creates a beautiful movie. Shaun of the Dead and World's End are my two favorites. I just rewatched The World's End. The World's End, man, what a great movie. Like, it's what's cool about the Cornetto trilogy is the movie starts as one genre and turns into another. So it starts as this, like, it's a comedy throughout, but it's like a drama. Like, this guy, he's reliving his past. He wants to get together with his friends and kind of relive the past, and hopefully that'll help him move on to the future. And it just shows how he's a troubled character. And then it turns into a sci-fi movie, yet it continues that storyline. Shaun of the Dead turns into a horror movie, continues the storyline. Hot Fuzz turns into this, like, conspiracy crime thriller. That's so cool. This movie does not do that, which is fine. I admire him for doing something different. It's just that with him being both a writer and a director, I felt like this movie, his directing is what outshined everything else, in that it was sort of unbalanced, like, unlike his other movies that are very well balanced. And like those other directors I mentioned, my favorite movies of Tarantino, Wes Anderson, Coen Brothers are ones that are just so well balanced. They're great movies as a whole. I think the strongest aspect of this movie is his directing, but the story and the characters are very weak. And I won't say just kind of weak, they're very weak. And I had huge problems with that. So, getting into it now, I was not attached to the main character at all, Baby. I never fully understood his world, and that really bothers me because the movie gives us glimpses of his complexities and this character, Baby, with like a somewhat interesting backstory and the fact that he is the best at what he does. I love movies about people who are the best at what they do, at their job, because we get to see an unfamiliar world through their eyes, and I never really got that with Baby. Instead of seeing the world through his eyes, we're just, you know, alone. We're just along for the ride. We never go in depth with him. The story is already, it's already such a familiar plot line, and some of the characters are very familiar, you know, cartoon characters, and that's not an insult saying they're cartoon characters, just like, you know, some movies have cartoon characters and that makes them fun, like this movie is, just, I needed more of an emotional tug to get me to live in this world instead of feeling like I was just visiting, which is what I felt like. So I'm going to come back to Baby, but back to the story. First of all, it's way too familiar. It's Drive. If you've seen the movie Drive, it's the same exact plot as Drive. And you can't really argue with that because here's the synopsis. And tell me if this is Drive or Baby Driver. Follows a quiet getaway driver whose real name we don't know and is involved with a bad crime lord, a mob gangster guy who threatens to hurt this young girl that the driver has fallen in love with after just two interactions, and he has to do one last job, but one of the crew guys he's with, who's kind of rough around the edges, makes shit hit the fan, and then this driver has to fix it all and try to save his father figure while also trying to save the girl he just met. It's the same movie as Drive, which is fine. I think what's incredible is, you know, that was directed by Nicholas Winding Refn. This is Edgar Wright. I think you could give a script to two really, I know, unique filmmakers, they can make two very different movies. And this is a very different movie from Drive, just the plot is the same. And I think this movie does things way better than Drive did, but I think there are some things Drive did story-wise that worked better for me. One of which was, you know, me caring about the main character, caring about Driver, and caring about the woman in his life. I mean, I did not buy this relationship with Deborah. Deborah, first of all, I'm getting to the side characters right now. Deborah is not a character. She's an idea. She is the girl of his dreams he wants to get away with, and that's it. This is all we know about Deborah. She works at a diner, and her boss gets mad at her because she's not working, even though there's no one in the diner, dude. Baby's the only guy there. He's like, get back to work. She's talking to the only guy in the restaurant. Like, what are you talking about? So yeah, her life's hard because she has a hard time being a waitress. Like, okay, that's it. That's all she is. And she's willing to drive away with Baby after like three interactions. I do think it was three. He sat down, they had the whole, he recorded her. And the second one, he was like, let's go to the laundromat. And the third one, he was with other people. So it was three interactions and she was willing to drive away with him. Okay, don't really buy that. That shows just how I think Baby's a really weak character. There's no flaws with him. And I think I can create some flaws for him in my head, but the movie offers us no flaws. He's too perfect of a character for this movie. There's nothing wrong with him. He's not, and that makes him not complex. I think, you know, Ansel Elgort gives a really good, quiet, subtle performance while being very loud, and that's impressive, but this character is so weak. Like, he gets himself into a bad situation with a bad guy who ends up caring for him at the end. Okay. So the movie surrounds him with, like, these people who are like, people around him are nice and they like him, so Baby must be nice. And the entire movie, it's constantly just telling us how nice of a guy Baby is without them actually showing us that he's a nice guy or a good guy. For example, another person in the movie who I do not think is a character, he's an idea, is his foster father. I don't remember his name. He's an elderly African-American, deaf, disabled man who he's doing sign language with, and he constantly is telling him, Oh, I think he's mute as well. Who is constantly telling him how good of a person he is and how he should get out of that life and he's a better person than this and he's good and he's good and he's good. That's all that character was. That's all this black, disabled, deaf, mute guy was. He was just telling us how good of a character Baby is. That's it. He meant nothing else to the movie. That was it. And that is stupid. Like, I think the movie should have embraced that Baby might be a bad guy, or he might have flaws. I think there's so many flaws that you could have gone towards. Like, maybe he has an addiction to the thrill of driving after, you know, the crash with his parents. Maybe he is the reason he goes back to Kevin Spacey. He's not forced into the life. He goes back, and this girl is the one that brings him out of it. Like, there's so many things they could have done that would have been way more interesting and made me care about this character more and made him more complex. But instead, he's kind of this blank slate that, and you, in the beginning of the movie, he's a blank slate, and you're under the assumption we're going to get more, and we never do. So again, the two people that he's closest to in this movie are just telling him how good of a person he is, and we don't know anything about those people, and they're not really characters. Another thing is he's actually the reason that they're all in danger. Like, he chose that life. He tried to steal Kevin Spacey's car. He got Deborah in trouble. It's his fault. And the entire movie, even towards the end, where they have a court trial, telling him it's not his fault, they go to just length's end to tell us he's a good person, which I didn't think they should have. They should have showed us. And that was a huge problem for me. So then, here's another part. I talked about Deborah. John Bernthal's character is in this for 5 seconds. Saw him in the trailer and you're excited for him? Well, he's in it for 5 seconds. John Hamm's character, I think John Hamm gave a great performance. His character kind of goes off the rails, which I liked, and he maybe even overstays his welcome, but whatever. I think the best performance in this movie is Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx plays Bats. He's menacing, he's annoying, he's terrifying at some moments. I thought he did a great job. And when Baby accelerates into like the back of a truck and kills Jamie Foxx, that was super satisfying and a great, great moment. I think from there on out, though, the movie kind of went off the rails as well. Kevin Spacey, again, he's great. He's great in it. Gives a good performance. He's scary. He does the quick dialogue really well. However, there's a scene where Baby takes Deborah out to dinner, and Kevin Spacey pays for the meal and tells him, listen, you got to still drive for me. Even though they're already square, he's like, you got to do another job for me because, you know, I could break every bone in your body, and I can kill this girl and the man that you, like, live with. I can kill the ones you love. And just threatens him. You know, Kevin Spacey's a selfish guy. I'm like, okay, that's his character. You know, he's a scary guy. For the ending to be, they go and ask for his help. And he's like, you know, they're in the elevator. Worst line, maybe in an Edgar Wright movie. I was in love once. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to sacrifice myself right now and make sure you get out with the money I made you guys steal. It made no sense. I didn't buy that for a second. That was a complete betrayal of this character you set up in this movie. Kevin Spacey's character wouldn't have done that. He threatened them just like 2 days ago. He threatened to break every bone in his body and kill the two people he cares about most. He would not sacrifice himself. He even sent Ansel Elgort, or Baby, and his nephew into the bank to do surveillance. He like put his nephew at risk. Man, like, this dude is a selfish son of a gun. He would not have done that. I didn't buy that at all. And that was the biggest, that was the moment in the movie that brought me out the most. I could not buy that for a second. That was bullshit. Edgar Wright, I think his movies have always felt really cool. You know, just another comparison with Tarantino. I know after Reservoir Dogs came out, almost every crime movie came out with like guys in suits and kind of copying Tarantino. And it's cool to be influenced, but I mean, there's so many things in this movie that are very similar to other movies that his writing style didn't elevate the film like his directing did. I mean, there's a lot of things I'd seen before story-wise that he didn't even really attempt to make his own. It was kind of just something I'd seen before. And that was, you know, that was really evident with like the manner in which they would rob place, the heists, the plans, all the twists and turns that weren't really twists and turns because we see them coming from a mile away, no pun intended. The World's End, I mean, okay, so looking at his other movies, there's an equal elevation with his style. His directing and his writing defies our expectations. and makes for an amazing movie. And this, it was mainly the directing, and to a you know, huge amount, and give him a lot of credit. His directing was phenomenal and elevated the movie, you know, vastly. But the writing, just really by the numbers, I felt like. And when you try to do that twist with Kevin Spacey, it's out of left field and doesn't make any sense. So the characters I thought were incredibly weak in this movie, other than Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx is Bat's character. And I thought the story was something I had definitely seen before in multiple movies and not really original. And that kind of really disappointed me. I think what it comes down to is I love this movie. I love so much about it. But things that I love, I kind of critique more because I want them to be even better. And this one, there were just a lot of things that popped out to me and sort of not ruined the movie, but sort of it turned me off a lot. It made me feel very underwhelmed leaving the theater, if that makes any sense. And that really disappointed me because the first hour was so good, so perfect, so much fun that he didn't quite stick the landing on an emotional level. I think this movie's so much fun. It's a great experience. It's the best thing to come out in theaters. I mean, this is coming out a week after Transformers, and we haven't had a good movie since Wonder Woman, which was a month ago. So I can tell, you know, this movie's getting so many positive reviews critically. It's got like a 90-something on Rotten Tomatoes. It's getting a lot of good press. And I think that might just because we are starving for a really good movie. And I do think this is a good movie. It is a really good movie. It's just not one of the best movies to come out in a while. Like it's good. And the first hour is an achievement in cinema, but the characters are not good. The story is something we've seen 1,000 times before. And I wish I was more emotionally invested with the characters so that I could enjoy it all even more. Because at a certain point after that first hour, when you're not emotionally in, the car chases and the crashing and the action, it numbs a little bit. You don't care about it as much. Another thing with that John Hamm character, I liked what they did with him. His girlfriend dies, and you know he's out to get Deborah now. And he ended up being like the big baddie at the end there. Like, I kind of wish it was more so the police chasing him at the end. They had the scene in the diner where, you know, he's about to take out his girlfriend. He's about to kill her, and then the cops come in, and you're in this moment where like, oh, anything could happen. I don't know what's going to happen next. Either he's going to kill the cops, they're going to get away, he's going to kill the girl, baby's going to get away, I don't know what's going to happen. And they shoot John Hamm, and then basically the stakes that were in that scene happen all over again at the parking garage, but this time Kevin Spacey sacrifices himself for no reason. So I kind of think that John Hamm conflict went on for too long. I wish they kind of ended somewhere else. And my last big problem with this is the ending. I did not buy that whole courtroom. He's in jail for 28 years, but he gets out in 4 thing. Like, I thought that was really lazy and kind of stupid. That just didn't make sense to me story wise and Edgar Wright wise. Like, I didn't think he would do something like that. You know, the whole movie's so fast and moving. And I know that was also a quick, you know, montage, but I felt like that was the moment of the film where you should have slowed down and either ended kind of ambiguously or ended with more consequences, because a lot of people died. And I know they were setting it up the whole movie. Every time he would do something nice for a person, they'd zoom in on them. Like, he takes that woman's car and throws the purse to her. They zoom in on her and you're like, oh, she's going to come back later. And she's in court testifying, oh, he's a good guy, even though he stole my car and wrecked it. It's like, nah, he's a flawed guy. I don't know. Like, I was not thrilled with the ending. It didn't fit the rest of the movie. So overall, I praise Baby Driver. Such a fun movie. And it's made Edgar Wright one of my favorite directors. I think the writing and the characters are very weak, and it left a lot to be desired personally. To give it a score out of 10, I would give it a 7 out of 10. That's just what kind of comes to my mind at the moment. That might change down the road, but for now, 7 out of 10. Let me know if you guys think the same way. You can tweet at me, Ryan_Nils, or comment on the YouTube video that I'm going to be posting this audio file with for Baby Driver. And subscribe to iTunes, share with your friends. I'm Ryan Nilsson, this is Moviegoers Podcast. Thanks for listening.